You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's up, you guys? Sean Ross at Fightful.com here with a name you know, because you've seen him on Fightful three times this year. Three times? I got to interview you zero times in 2019. I interviewed you zero times in 2018. And now I'm getting the three in EC3. It happened.
That's interesting, considering we've been close for at least, I mean, we've talked for many years. And, oh, I guess because I had a job that didn't let me interview with you. And then I did one interview kind of off the radar. And then I was fired during a pandemic, and I've been able to now do two more interviews, this being the third.
I feel like we should specify, I don't believe the two are connected. I don't think that WWE looked and said, you know what, he spoke with Sean Ross Sapp, let's fire him.
No, I don't think so at all.
They gave me Kofi Kingston in the interim, so, and Dana Brooke did one without asking them to, so. And she's still there.
No, there was kind of an agreement we could do it because we were trying to promote a charity event that would have been a third party, which obviously would not have flown in this day and age, but that's okay. So whatever.
So you got a lot
going on. This will be our best one.
You got a lot going on. Jay Briscoe, Ring of Honor, Final Battle. You're doing a lot of different stuff. There's a lot of content, EC3 content out there.
Content.
I was checking out freeec3.com. I saw some of that. I saw the extended cut of the narrative. How does this come about? And I'm really interested in your take on this, because there are some people who don't like to sort of explain how the sauce is made. Then you run into a guy like Jon Moxley, like he'll tell you exactly what he was going for 30 seconds after whatever he just did ended. And he's like, sure hope it worked. But there are other people that don't operate like that.
What do you think I do? Do I show you how the sauce is made, or am I kind of I understand both theories and I apply both theories because I do believe you don't want to know how the sausage is made. It takes you out of it. Telling everything like immediately after, I think, ruins the illusion. Sure. And maybe the fans' suspension of disbelief. But at the same time, people do want to know from the artist's perspective, the performer's perspective, what they were attempting to do, what they were going for. And then the people that do seek that out usually are going to seek it out regardless. And you could talk to them specifically. So maybe that's what John would do or I would do. I think there's creative ways to do both. So, really terrible answer I just gave you.
Well, we're seeing like things from you that we haven't got to see from you since you emerged on at least the national or global wrestling scene. Like, this is a completely different you. And I think it would have been very easy for you to do the same exact thing. Well, I mean, I don't even know that you were doing it the last 2 years, not on Raw or anything like that, but there was still very clearly an audience for what you had done before, but you were like, I'm going to do something completely different.
Yes, definitely. I think with the change in the world and the change in entertainment as a whole and the change in my life, I thought it was time to bring to the forefront exactly what I do as a performer and an artist, because why not? That's controlling your narrative. That's telling your story, being able to portray your art as close to your real life as possible. So I think it's a unique thing. And it's a different thing. And I had the opportunity to do it. And I kind of went full tilt with it. So ever since this started, I don't know, my greatest fear was being in the long list of line of people that fans perhaps think, oh, he didn't get pushed, he didn't get a shot, he didn't do this, he didn't do that. That's fine, whether here nor there. But at the same time, I didn't want to be somebody that was seen as he didn't do anything or try or put himself out there to at least succeed. Whether he did or not doesn't matter. The fact that he put the effort in, he did the work. It's the man in the arena from Teddy Roosevelt, basically. It's not the critic who counts. It's the man who does the work in the arena. The one who dares greatly, whether he fails, whether he succeeds, at least he tried. So I live by that motto. From there, you know, it was just an opportunity to create something different. One thing about being with WWE that I wasn't able to do and I never felt was going to come was the chance to tell my story. So my real story, my real thoughts, angst, pains, dramas, intricacies, personality, why not bring it forth through the medium that I love?
And there's so many things in wrestling. Like, for example, last night on Raw, Matt Riddle's walking around with donuts, and people are asking me, oh, are they supposed to be laced with THC? And I said, no, because if they were on WWE Raw, they'd beat you over the fucking head with it. Like, they would mention, oh, what's in those donuts type of thing over and over again. With what you're doing, and this was not an intent to shit on WWE, but with what you're doing, there's an ambiguous nature to it to where I'm like, is that what he was meaning? Is this what he was meaning? Is this what he was intending? Like, a lot of the stuff with Moose, I'm like, okay, is he trying to take Moose back to the Moose that we came to know, that everybody said future ROH champion, that when he came into Impact, we were like future Impact champion, star of the company, and... Were you legitimately trying to destroy Moose? Like, there was enough of an ambiguous, like, type of thing there to where I was like, where is this going? Is that something you want, or do you want, like, a defined point?
I like ambiguity, and I like the fan to make a decision. Why do I love the movie American Psycho so much? Because at the end of it, you don't know if it was real or if it was all in his head. Things like
spoiler alert.
Leaving trails of breadcrumbs, using symbology, Easter eggs thrown back. I think it's fun for fans to see, but at the same time, not everyone's going to see it. So you have to be able to tell a simple story within a very intricate story, perhaps. The thing with Moose was very real to me. I only went back to Impact specifically for that angle, because specifically when I was creating content, shooting things within my narrative, Moose came in and wanted to do a promo against my infamous gray wall. So we brought him in, and it was when it was announced that somebody was coming back, a former world champion to Impact, which may or may not have been me at that time. I actually don't think I've agreed to it at that time. But he came in doing the promo and he dropped a few names, and he's been a close friend of mine for a very long time. And I've always seen his potential, like you mentioned. But when he's doing the promo, it was very standard wrestling promo. And I'm just like, whatever, same shit, okay. But then when he started talking about me, he went to like a different level, and he was real. And he was who I always thought he would be, who I thought he could be. And then like, I was playing on my phone and I went, okay. And I was listening and seeing him do that promo, I'm like, I know I can bring it out of myself. I'm proving that now within this 90-day window to kind of create a new identity and take to whatever companies I go to, and also create my own thing on the side. But I wanted to try that with somebody else as well. So he was, whether the honorary recipient or the victim of it, time will tell, but I definitely went to Impact to prepare him to become who I think he should be, if that makes sense.
Sure.
He should be a world champion. There's nobody in this industry I'd rather fight for real less than him. And as he pummeled me viciously multiple times, I remember sitting there going, I do not want to fight you. Holy shit. So I think in the world of wrestling, guys that are true threats physically are lacking, and he's definitely one of them and could be very much somebody special and carry a company based on that physicality he could bring.
Is that why you did ask me to get into wrestling?
No.
I took third place at a regional submission wrestling tournament, EC3.
Hey, cool. You also did wrestling training, didn't you?
Yeah, I did.
I think you sent me a picture of you doing an arm drag once.
Yeah, it was just so I could be better at this, though, and I could make jokes like this without feeling so bad for myself. But
well, that's what I respect the hell out of that, because whether you had aspirations to do it full-time or you just wanted to learn that aspect of it so you can better report on it and tell our stories and have a bit of legitimacy behind what you're saying, I respect that, because I think that's necessary. You know, the aches and pains, even if they were brief, that someone might be going through. Someone might have a subpar match or a subpar performance, but it's dealing with a sprained ankle or a torn meniscus or whatever the hell else. People have injuries, or psychologically they're not in the right place. They had a fight with their girl. Things aren't going right at home. And those add into your performance. So you can, by living through it, you can better understand it, that maybe not everything is what it is on the surface or portrayed on television.
That was always the goal. I just wanted to be able to relate a little bit better. I would have felt weird not having the experience, but then going and talking about it. But we saw the Moose program unfold. Did that unfold how you wanted it to? Like, was the end product like what you had in mind? Because from what I understand, it happened multiple times, or there were some starts and stops there with the filming.
Starts and stops how?
Like, didn't Impact film it and you guys were supposed to film it on your own? Like, how did that work?
Okay. did it go how I originally planned, me and myself? No, but I don't expect it to, because at that point I'm working for a company. Control your narrative. I control mine. They control theirs.
Josh Matthews said again. You didn't work there.
Having said that, was I happy with it? Extremely happy. I thought there was a great story arc. I think the only holdups to it was getting from point A to point B with so much time in between to not do so much physicality that maybe there's a little bit of redundancy, but a necessary evil to save the sanctity for where we were going at Bound for Glory. The original plan was, and this is why the narrative extended, available on my website, www.freeec3.com, has what I filmed with Moose prior to my return to Impact, because prior to my return to Impact, part of my conditions were I'd like to use him in my thing that I would like to build on the side going forward. And I will do this with him, and we will culminate at Bound for Glory. But it's somewhere in between that. They decided they wanted to do a cinematic match for Bound for Glory, and that's fine. Kind of leaving what we shot on the ground floor, on the table, just sitting there. I was very happy with how we did the match. I thought the match told a great story. I thought it put Moose in the position. I think the last shot of him sitting on the ring apron with that look in his eyes made him. Now, I've done everything I could for him. Let's see where he takes it. But originally, my intention was for halfway through this angle for him to come looking for me, come to my narrative. We have a fight. It's not a win or a loss fight, but it's a fight that therefore he learns more about himself within it. We go to Bound for Glory in a normal match, and then he becomes who he's supposed to be. He's victorious. He conquers the challenge. EC3, the character, can go die on his sword. having destroyed his past by allowing himself to be destroyed by whom he deems the person that can control the future of the company, so to speak. So it didn't happen that way. Still very happy with how it came out. And then I'm sitting there with that match with Moose, and I thought it was his best performance, the one I had with him in the extended narrative, that it just seemed like an opportunity. Throw it out there, see what happens. It's cool. The team of Manny Rivera, my cinematographer, and JC, the director, really put a lot of effort into editing that together into some whole extended package. And it's sort of a demo to hopefully maybe take what we create and bring it to a different light on a different forum. It's a demo. Take a look at it. It's cool. It's got relevant stories to the world. It has sweet music. It has good sound. It was a 4 or 5 man operation, so it's very...
Is that part of the appeal, wholesome? Like that it is close-knit too? Because I think there is, like, when I think of that, I'm like, man, that's what I like. Something that's put together by very few people, because you know that there's the creative vision is tight-knit as well. And I mean, not that it's going for charm, but always when I'm about to watch something, if I know it's put together by a small group of people, I'm like, I'm sort of rooting to enjoy it. You know what I mean? Like, I want, yeah. It's hard to put it into words, but there is sort of a groundswell and like that grassroots type of feel to something like that, even though it's produced at an incredibly high quality.
Yeah, it was very much exactly how you said. Very few people involved. Very much a singular vision shared by a handful of people. Just creating something. Why not? Have fun. Tell a story. Try something different. I think wrestling has fallen into the wayside where people aren't trying different things, whether they fail, whether they succeed, whether they're cool, whether they suck. And I've even told you, hey, will you look at this? And I want an honest feedback. You're like, I can't, to my journalistic integrity, say I like something if I don't like it. And I say, that's exactly what I wanted to hear. Please tell me. So, and as we go forward with that, I appreciate that opinion.
So the impact run happened. So it seems like, based on what you told me, the plan wasn't always to do a cinematic match, but then pretty early on, I guess it became that.
Yeah, about halfway through.
So when
someone wanted to do it, and then that's cool. They also provided me the form when I released the initial version of the narrative, which was kind of my demo of 90 days of creating something on my own. I knew I would never have. It's as simple as I would never have the establish myself as a character, get over match, because wherever I went to work, I would already be kind of known. So I kind of needed to do it myself. This is how this character acts. This is how this character fights. This is how their move set, so to speak. Yeah. And then culminate. This is the theme song I want to use. This is how I want the entrance to look. This is all things I want it to be, whether it becomes that or not. Elsewhere, to be determined, but this was my vision. But about halfway through, they kind of wanted to try cinematic match. So I am very good at audibling and calling stuff on the fly. So
I brought up the Josh Matthews call because I absolutely hated it. And I thought it was...
You're allowed to hate it.
I thought it was terrible. I really did. I thought it was terrible. And I don't know Josh personally, but I thought it was terrible. But I think a lot of people legitimately thought that you had a contract and you were like there. And you specified, not just to me, publicly, I really don't have a contract. I don't have a contract. And I can't tell you the number of tweets I got that were like, yeah, sure, buddy, sure. Well, it's evident you don't. And then not only, I'm talking to people at the tapings. They're like, oh, no, he's not even here. He's not at the tapings following that show. So was there ever a talk of that? Or did you know pretty well from the beginning, this is going to be short term? And did they try to sign you?
Yes, and we're still talking. I think come the new year, when I free myself up, there's talks to be had elsewhere, and they definitely want to do long-term. I'm not ready to do anything long-term until I know who I am and what I'm doing. And then kind the thing of the with point, Ring of Honor or something. Was yeah,
kind of the point.
Like I have a lot of myself to figure out before I jump into something and become, I don't know, like everybody else. If I have that freedom, I can do it now. I'm going to take it and develop something, I guess. And then the opportunity with Ring of Honor came along, and it's a company I've always had a love and respect for that I never had the opportunity to work for. Now I am telling another fantastic story with another talent I highly respect. One of my favorite wrestlers of all time, Jay Briscoe. I do want to see what this takes us and where we go with this. And I've thoroughly enjoyed everything we've done since they've sort of relaunched within the pandemic and the restrictions that are put upon them. I think their shows have been excellent. So I like to keep myself open, brother.
Yeah, and that was were you surprised that so many companies were willing to work on short-term deals? Because I know that I would like talk to Shane Helms, and he said that when he was in Impact, they were always like, got to have a contract. Person's got to have a contract if they're here. But we're in a wildly different time than right. just a few years ago.
I was pleased and happy. Both companies were very respectful of that opinion and willing to allow me to do both. I understand that future, something we'll have to give, because if I'm a company, I'm not going to invest in somebody if they're not there for the long term. So I see it both ways, and I respect both ways. And that time will come, probably soon. But for now, as the world is insane and crazy in 2020, whatever, they were open to it. And I think it's worked out creatively for me and personally as well.
The thing I like about Ring of Honor and you being there is immediately there were situations that I had not even fathomed you in as someone who enjoys your work professionally. Like I see you on screen with Shane Taylor and the Briscoes, and I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ. That hadn't even entered my brain waves. And Shane Taylor is a guy who I've championed for a long time. Think he's really underrated. The Briscoes, one of the best teams of our generation. Ever. Yeah.
For sure. I agree. And that's what you mentioned, three names, and there's at least 23 that could be interesting matchups.
Yes.
And so many fresh perspectives and different things and so many different stories to tell on so many different fronts. Especially with people I've never interacted with before, not only professionally, but even personally. And I think I do some of my best work when it's with somebody I don't know personally, but respect professionally. So, like a Briscoe, perhaps. I mean, we met probably once in 2012 or 13, but I've always been very endeared by their work. I think their loyalty to Ring of Honor is very... tremendous. Is that the right word?
Yeah.
But their work, like their loyalty means a lot to me, and their ability to, as much as wrestling goes into this social media, talking about yourself or breaking that fourth wall and all that we've talked about and how people just put themselves out there so much. They're very much, we love to wrestle and we love what we do at home. We have a family. We are who we are. They're very real. And realism to me is important, I think, from a storytelling perspective, because realism fans can resonate with, and realism brings about emotions and moments.
Just last week, as we're filming this, we saw Impact doing a bit of a crossover with AEW. We got Don Callis popping up there, Kenny Omega popping up this week on Impact. Did that surprise you? Because for a long time, we'll call it, especially the post Samoa Joe era, he had contracts or he was working two or three different places, and WWE was like, oh, sure, okay. Then he pops up on ROH and they're like, nope, contract now. And they don't do a lot of that. We're seeing other companies do that a lot more and really lean on each other. Does that surprise you?
At this point, no, I don't see why not. Like with what I'm building, with the narrative, with what is taking place, companies like AEW, Ring of Honor, Impact, MLW, WWE, we're all connected in the wrestling world in some way or some shape or some form, and to act like they don't exist to each other is silly to me, because there's so many intriguing possibilities. Granted, from a business perspective, I'm not on the levels to make any decisions like that or what to do, because there is competition and you do want to, I don't know, maximize your profits and beat other people because it's a competitive market. But at the same time, if the whole industry grows from dabbling within each other, the avenue for stories raise, it's intriguing and it's very cool. And it's like watching crossovers in the Marvel universe, perhaps. Is that a thing that just popped in my head? Yes, I had no intention of saying that. But, I mean, Avengers is going to be the biggest movie of all time for the rest of our lives, especially with movie theaters going on. And that's combined so many different worlds that do exist within the one. Wow, that's awesome. Sweet. Oh, I never thought I'd see these two guys interact and have a fight that nobody bleeds in, and then they pummel each other for days, but then everything's fine afterwards and they're best friends. It's cool. It's unique. It draws interest. And then with the fans connected with the narrative, I view that as just a small little niche I can create that is like supplemental content to whatever's happening in whatever wrestling federations, whether it's independent, whether we use people from other companies, or they're allowed to do it, they step in there, they can tell stories within that world and maybe help their characters. Even if a small minority of fans see it, the ones that do understand the characters are watching on the bigger platforms more, or subliminally, they found themselves in some way that they can take that act to the bigger platforms and fans notice a change within them and they are a better performer because of it.
In the narrative, you...
Did any of that makes sense? It sounded great.
Yes, yes, it did. It sounded great, especially the Marvel reference. In the narrative, you are... I don't want to say candid, but you definitely do mention the fact that you dealt with a debilitating injury, which we now know is a concussion.
Yeah.
And I mean, you have told me personally that you know that you have suffered a few before, and I don't want to single those people out or anything. You can too if you want to bury them. That's okay. But like, is that something that you had to kind of come to grips with upon your return? Because from what I understand, you were cleared well before you could return or before you were let go. But I mean, this is something that we know a lot more.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Now, even more so than when you were training, and I know that you got a few.
Yeah. When I was called up in whatever, I guess it was the end of 2018, maybe early 2019, I suffered a second one within 3 months in NXT, but then there was a mass call up and I was part of that, but I was called up and I had it, and it was kind of, I'm like, oh, I'm getting called up and I'm injured. This sucks.
Yeah.
But I've always, anytime I've been injured physically, it wasn't how long do I need to rest to be healthy? It was how long do I need to get back? And so with that, it was the same thing. I'm just getting called up. This is all I've ever wanted in my life. This is the opportunity I've been waiting for. There's got to be a purpose to this. I'm going to be ready. I run back. We know how the run goes. It's whatever. But then mid 2019, maybe later, like July, I suffered another one. But I didn't notice I had it until it was kind of too late, till one day I showed up and I was just not myself, fish white. You know, if I'm not tan, something's wrong. So I'm fish white. I just feel awful. Someone mentions you don't look good. And I kind of tell them that, like, this happened. And I do the test. Okay, you're not cleared. But this one took forever to get back because there's such a weird injury. They're so speculative. Plus, having a few, they're harder to recover from. So there was a nice 5 to 6 month period suffering this that, as physically debilitating as it was more mentally debilitating. And there was mental changes that were very hard to fathom. They were very hard to overcome. Personal turmoil. It's just like everything sucked and it was a change in personality and it wasn't great. So eventually I got over that, finally was able to be cleared. And that was right before March. Maybe after WrestleMania, something will happen. Now instead the world's shutting down and you're fired. Okay, that's fine. But I haven't really did anything. I didn't do anything to get back till after that. So it's almost, I don't know if I can do this still. And the first time I wrestled was the original narrative. So there were worries and apprehensions, especially because I'm not under the fine medical care of anybody anymore. I'm kind of on my own, but enough time has passed. I healed up. I did the proper things and was okay. So,
Did you see the speculation that I would see in tweets where they were like, oh, well, he's very clearly still got this because that's why he's doing cinematic matches. I saw those everywhere. And then I was like, guys, he worked in at Black Label Pro. He worked in I think Texas. You did a match there that I actually sent you a message about. And you've done some stuff all over the place. Like you've done honest to God wrestling matches.
Yeah. The guy with the giant head. I remember that. Really hard to give him the deal. Yes, but I never saw too many of those that I'm like hiding behind that. And if you watch the narrative available on my website, www.freeec3.com, and any social channel, I do it in one shot. Sort of like I was always inspired by those one take scenes, like a 1917 or the Creed fights. Excuse me. They had that one shot, like you got to get it right or you do it again. So I didn't see too much of that speculation, but I understand it because it makes sense. Another thing is that anything I wanted to do televised, I didn't want to give away too much till the world kind of situated itself, which it hasn't. So I also wanted to avoid wrestling in front of empty arenas and put that off as long as possible, which I didn't get to do. But I tried, and I thought it would keep us building unique and different and special.
Yeah.
But I get that question, and I like the speculation. People are talking, people are asking questions. That's cool. Have an opinion. Let's talk about it.
So there was a situation last year that I didn't get to talk to you much about. John Moxley bringing up your name in an interview when you're being, quite frankly, criminally misused. And you did a bit of a hat tip on Twitter. I mean, I don't think anybody expected you to come out and bury the company that you were a part of. But it's one of those things where it's like, let somebody else give you the compliment so you don't have to yourself. And I mean, that's a pretty big frigging compliment, having a guy who would go on to be AEW World Champion for most of this year saying, I wanted to work with that guy. I think we could have done cool stuff together. And he's sitting there saying, why isn't there more from this? Like, how does that feel for you going through what you were going through? Was that a little bit of validation? Was that like, see, motherfuckers, this is what I've been trying to say, or you guys are using me wrong? Or at that point, were you deflated?
No, that helped a lot because I have such a high amount of respect for him and his work. And it was, I guess validation is a good word, that because I'm not going to be the guy that's going to complain on social media. Sure. I'm not going to be the guy that's, you know, whine, bitch, and moan about anything. Like, I'm going to try to handle it the best I can, or I'm going to do what I think is necessary to get out of it. I'm going to do what I can myself. But that helped. So the people that knew were like, ah, this makes sense. Okay. And the people that, I still want people to think I wouldn't try, or that I would relegate myself to being subpar, because I would never do that ever. That's just not who I am. So that helped. And then, thank you, brother. But at the same time, I can't put too much, like, that's one man's opinion. And as much as I respect it, it's not going to do me any favors here. So I still have to put in the work here with whatever that may be, regardless whether it matters or not, doesn't. But I was willing to try.
I mean,
and then seeing that, like, real fast, the mention of that means that there's wide open facility to tell an amazing story with him down the road that is real, resonates, emotional, has moments. In theory, an EC3, deranged, shaved head, psycho boy who's lost it all, could very well blame John for everything he experienced because of his deciding to leave the company, of his deciding to talk about me outside of it. If that means we wind up rolling around in glass and barbed wire and throwing each other off things and just beating the living shit out of each other for the entire world to see, hopefully a packed arena someday, that's really cool.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to look at it, because we see John Moxley doing that type of stuff. I mean, he and Eddie Kingston had a history that, quite frankly, not nearly as many people knew about as they know about EC3 and John Moxley having history, because he said it on his first post-WWE interview. So, I mean, I think there's very clearly a lot of meat on that bone right there.
Yeah. Anytime I get super philosophical and maybe creative and artisty and put up a self-created promo or self-created match or all these things, you gotta love the one-track mind of a wrestling fan, because it's like, let's see what the comments say. Go to AEW.
Yes.
Oh, all
right.
Why? Fight John Moxley. Okay, that's something I'm very interested in. Fight MJF. As opposed to seeing the art and the creation of it and the in-depth stories. You know, you get that sometimes, and it's, I don't know if it's dissuading, maybe a little bit, but at the same time, that's what people want to see, then that means there's box office to be made.
When they told you that you were going to win that initial match against John Moxley, but it's going to be 2 minutes, are you like, all right, this is happening. Some stuff is happening.
At first I was like, really? And that was just right after he kind of agreed to, I'm not coming back. I'm not resigning. I'm like, well, I mean, that's fair. You know, you don't do the favor on the way out, but at the same time, I would like it to mean something. Mm-hmm. And I think down the road, it maybe could have led to something. And then there was the one match, it was like a few minutes, and it was a little finish. And then I thought it would progress into something that maybe I could have a star making moment in a real match against one of the top talents in the industry, that he's on his way out, I'm on my way up, but didn't happen like that. So, did that answer your question?
I mean, sort of. 1 week later, they're retconning the whole thing. They're like, Matt, well,
yeah,
different result, 4 minutes. And it's,
yeah,
do you wonder like, okay, are they just messing with him? Are they messing with me? Is that anything that even hits your brainwave? Because
I think why I didn't like go, what the f-, is because, oh, they think you might be a better off as a heel. I'm like, yeah, of course I am. Like, for real. Good
scouting report, guys.
Does that mean I can speak? Can I speak and explain why I'm not a good person?
Can tell the weather from what I hear.
Yeah, but I guess there were some apprehensions because we had matches on the live events that were, I think they were sick on the card. They were good, solid matches. I was the protagonist. He was the antagonist, but he's had a 7-year run of incredible work that built his name up with a very loyal audience. And I was a new guy in yellow trunks with a muscular physique that people were like, I want to see it. Like, yay him, boo this new guy. And that makes sense. I would do the same. And I believe on the third match of that loop we had, I think we're in the middle of the match and it's they're cheering him, they're booing me. And we kind of called the audible out there, like, let me take over as the aggressor and the villain in this scenario. And let's give them what they want. You being cheered. And we pulled the, we did it in the middle of it. Like, that's calling on the fly. That's reading the audience. That's what pros do. I guess it wasn't well received by somebody in charge or misconstrued up the chain. And then the rest is history. But yeah, it's still a good match. That,
yeah,
I just showed why I should be a bad guy in this scenario. And he showed, this is why I fight. And it was cool. But, and the live audience reacted accordingly, which I think is the point of what we do.
Usually I save the finishing move talk for the end for a special segment, but you guys kind of shared a finishing move for a while. You all did a very similar move. He told me the reason that he stopped doing that is because a lot of times he'd run into some people that were a little bit too tall and they'd end up like taking it a little bit weirdly. Was there a reason you moved away from it? Was it just something that you wanted to keep in your back pocket?
Yeah, I kept it in the back pocket, but I think I used it once in NXT and as a falsie, just as a throwback. But I think going into the WWE, I didn't want to bring a move that they didn't let him do. Like, why am I going to do something? He's probably already went through this. So if he's not using it, there's a reason he's not using it. I can substitute that and find something else down the road. So that was the only reason. In fact, when I was in there first coming into NXT, they're like, yeah, then you can do your deal. And I'm like, I do this deal instead because I know it's going to get taken away eventually. So why even establish it if we're not going to run with it?
What were you using in NXT? I can't remember. Was it the TKO?
TKO.
Oh, that's a Derek Bateman callback. Nikki Bella gave you that move.
She did, yeah. And then it was also an EC3 falsie in Impact and TNA days too. But it's cool. It's easy.
I like to pretend that Nikki Bella passed it down to you, the rack attack.
I gift you this. You gave me a bag of change. Here is your new finishing maneuver. Well, thank you. How kind.
By the way, I for sure did Quizzlemania a few months ago and wanted to flat out steal the idea that you and Daniel Bryan did with the Steve Blackman gimmick on the newlywed game, basically. Like, you told me once upon a time you got heat for that?
Yeah, probably.
That's amazing.
Well, I mean, they treat the entire show like a joke. So why not make a joke of being the joke?
Yes.
I figure it's better people laugh with you than at you. I don't like being laughed at. I like being laughed with. I'm entertaining. So yeah, we figured out a way around their silly game. And it made the segment entertaining. It made the show better. But the fact that, you know, the control power mechanism needs to reestablish why they're in control. Hey.
Yeah.
You can be made fun of, but you can't make fun of us. Okay. Hey, I'm just trying to stand out.
That's a bully.
That's what you tell me to do.
That's a bully. Yeah. That's what a bully does.
I want to be different, and I would like to entertain the people that pay money to be there as opposed to sit there and be like, why am I watching this 45-minute atrocity unfold in front of me? I'm here to see Edge and Randy Orton and John Cena. I'm not here to see this curly-haired idiot be put on the spot.
So
we're
40 minutes into our third interview of the year, and there's still like a million things I could talk to you about. So we'll save some for when I inevitably hit you up in January and say, hey, let's do another interview. But
I'll have a lot to talk about in January, so I don't think that's a bad idea.
Yeah. So I've been doing a new segment. It's the opposite of shoots hard, and it's shoots softly, where I ask people to say nice things about their contemporaries, because there's a lot of negative wrestling news out there, right?
There's so, everything's so negative. I'm actually looking forward to shooting softly and saying nice things about nice people. I think we could all use a little positive reinforcement.
Yeah. First name, Mahabali Shera. You were excited for this. You were ready for it.
He has a nice smile and a good heart.
There we go. Brie Bella. We just mentioned Nikki. What about Brie?
Oh, I'm Birdie B. I'm so happy for her and Brian's success and family. And I just hope they're eternally, happily, ever after, together forever. True love resonates with me. It's so nice to see. I may never find it, but the fact they have it, I respect that and I encourage it. Congratulations, you two, on your lovely family and your lovely life together. And I hope you're happy.
A guy that you had a match with, Sting. He's popped back up in Sting. AEW.
Wow. I mean, I beat Sting, right?
Yeah, you did. You beat Sting in a few minutes, actually. Combined, you have beaten Jon Moxley and Sting in about 7 minutes.
I should definitely be in a Hall of Fame somewhere based on those record-setting wins themselves. Sting's awesome. I mean, I grew up watching him. Rarely is a chance you get to meet your idols, let alone work with your idols. I had that opportunity. Even if what we did was brief on screen, what he did with me, talking to me in the back, will always stick with me and was very encouraging and positive. And I'm glad to see, I mean, it's cool he can show up. And then I kind of modeled the EC3 that we see today after 97 Sting in a way that, hey, I don't need to wrestle for a year. I can just show up with a baseball bat and say wild stuff and get into brawls. And that's cool too. No, but there's very that ambiguity and, change in somebody. I kind of modeled, like, I mean, Surfer Sting to Crow Sting. What a drastic change in a personality. And I definitely wanted to model what I did after going so far this way to going so far that way. So,
a couple people that we did see you on screen with in WWE, Mandy Rose, Sonya Deville.
Oh, they're sweet as peach. I think the first words I got to say were to Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville on a pre-tape before a show.
Yeah.
Backstage once. I wish I had more time to hang and get to know them as people, but they're lovely inside and out. They're great people. That's from I can tell. And you know, if Dozer is after your heart, you must be a winner. And Dozer's one of the sweetest, kindest, loving men of all time. And I just hope him and his peach meet together and also live happily ever after and have 22 children and raise a entire just litany of humanity and bless this world with their incredible genes together.
I don't think people realize how good of an athlete Otis is. Like,
he's sick.
I would pay attention to those NXT combine stats, and I keep on seeing his name on, like, the weighted pull-ups. And I'm like, really? Damn, man.
He's a beast. And when I mention people like, oh, God, I'd never fight them for real. Dozer, he's right up there, too. Holy hell.
How about a guy named Rockstar Spud, also known as Drake Maverick?
Ah, Drake. Sweet little Spud. He is my best friend within the industry. I don't know if you know that.
Yeah.
What can I say about him that I haven't already said a million times? Love him like a brother, because he is a brother. Very happy that he's found happiness, and he's doing a lot of things in his real life. I'm real encouraged by him, proud of him for. He's also totally rededicated himself in this, like, physical manifestation kind of thing that I myself have been the forefront of in wrestling, like, that's getting sickly lean and jacked the right way. He's no matter what, he's there for you as a friend and a colleague, and there's great character within him. So
his wife doing things too. She just popped up on Impact as well.
She did. Yeah, good for her.
Which is good to see. Last one, Braun Strowman. You all still friends? Do y'all have a falling out? What happened?
Yeah. Oh no, we're pals. I think he called me today. But,
for some dirt.
Also physically just manifesting himself into another, probably also on the long list of people.
Physically manifesting himself into Truth Commission Bull Buchanan, who we were just talking about recently. He's got the Truth Commission gear.
I didn't notice that. You're right. I was just so impressed with Bull Buchanan, that like scissor kick off the top rope. I was like, when I was working out, I was watching, I was like, damn, that was sweet.
Another underrated athlete, so, Bull Buchanan. They had high hopes for him.
Remember, he did that big jump to the top rope?
Yep.
Turning clothesline thing? That was cool.
Braun should do that.
I used to be able to do it. 5 knee surgeries? I used to. Indie Deviant did do that. And I was 7 inches shorter than Bull Buchanan, so it was more impressive coming out of him.
My God, we appreciate you shooting softly on fightful.com.
I like to softly shoot.
It went a lot better than when it did with MJF. He just buried everybody. But, I mean, I guess that's to be expected.
Hey, commitment to who he is. Respect that.
Yeah.
I mean, why? Like, yeah, why would he say nice things about people? He's got his niche, and he's doing it well.
So you've got Final Battle.
I remember a guy like that once. Reckon 2013 through 2017.
Man.
Handsome, young, brought in a gigantic bodyguard to watch his back. Kind of a real prick, but eventually could show that he could fight. Yeah, entitled, spoiled, but like just sharp with the stick, real sharp. There's potential in that. There is.
It seems to work pretty well. We had mentioned earlier, Ring of Honor Final Battle. You're facing Jay Briscoe. That's a hell of a match. And then, of course, Rouge Brody King, Jonathan Gresham, one of my favorite in-ring workers in the world. I watched this guy's tutorials, for the love of God, taking on Flip Gordon, Dragon Lee, defending the television title. It's going to be a good time. Ring of Honor Final Battle, December 18th. And, of course, I want everybody to check out freeec3.com. If you're interested in a lot of this stuff that he was going in depth about, I mean, freeec3.com seems like the place to learn more, doesn't it?
I need to get the Google number up. I don't know how to do that because if you Google EC3, it's just like articles of me getting fired. I'm like, I have this sweet ass website full of great content. I'll figure it out if any social media people can help me with that. But yeah, you go to freeec3.com. You have wearable propaganda, which is all the merchandise.
Point down. I have the logo below you right now. I have the link below you. There you go.
You guys on it. Yes, thank you for that. But also, like all the content I've created independently, plus a majority of the content I've done with Impact and Ring of Honor, are in handy places you can read about them. And then, you know, I'm writing possibly my description of this whole narrative story from beginning till about now, as I have time to write. And I sent you some, and hopefully I'm a decent enough writer that I kept your attention.
You did. I was like, was one of them from him, one of them from, I don't know if I put his name out there, but your buddy there. I was like, did they each do one but they were both very good. They're both very good.
Thank you. We'll see where they go.
You were supposed to write for us once upon a time. Then you went and got signed.
Idiot. What a dork. Maybe you should revisit that. But if you go to freeec3.com, you have all like independently shot promos and character creation things. And I think, too, I get a lot of requests from aspiring pro wrestlers who want to join the narrative, perhaps, or ask me for advice. So you might be seeing new people you may know, you may not know, pop up within there. So interesting things could happen. We're going to put it out there. We'll see.
Yeah, I encourage people to check it out. When you go to the website, I happen to see a video down at the bottom of the page. And when you click on it, it's unlisted on YouTube. So you're not going to just scroll through YouTube and find it. You'll go to his website and you'll see that particular cut.
I still can't figure YouTube out, so it's just kind of like a hub to keep the stuff. I don't know what I'm doing.
But guys, make sure you check out freeec3.com. EC3, thank you so much. You're always so generous with your time, and hopefully you will be next month too.
Yeah, I'll see you in January. What do you think? January 21st or something? Does that sound good?
Yeah, January 21st.
I don't know why. No reason why.
Is that the royal date of the Royal Rumble? Are you in the Royal Rumble, EC3?
Is it the Royal Rumble?
I don't know. I don't think they've officially announced it for reasons.
Okay.
But guys, until next time, we're out.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.